Hello, this is Tom Scott with the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, July 17th, 2024. On the front page, above the fold, we have rezoning of lots for proposed commercial development. You're changing our entire neighborhood. Neighbors of proposed gas station raise concerns about lighting, trash, and traffic. Rezoning of two lots okay, despite no recommendation from advisory panels. And city officials stress that more hearings will be held prior to construction. Below that, we have two articles. Both are quite lengthy. It may take all of our time today to read them both. But we'll begin with the first. Council okays rezoning of lots to make way for proposed gas station. Paxton. To accommodate the planned construction of a gas station with a quick-serve restaurant east of the Interstate 57 interchange on Paxton's west side, City Alderman last week approved the rezoning of two residentially zoned grass lots to a commercial zoning classification. Council voted 4-3, with Mayor Bill Ingold casting the deciding vote in the absence of two aldermen who approved the city's petition to rezone the two lots. Council okayed the rezoning plan despite the city's Planning and Zoning Commission having voted 3-2 earlier that night, with one member absent, to not recommend the approval of the rezoning, and then voted 3-2 to make no recommendation at all. Over the span of 45 minutes, the Commission fielded concerns from residents living near the to-be-rezoned lots. Concerns that were raised again during the council meeting that followed. They said they were concerned, and in particular about the potential noise and light pollution, along with trash, traffic, and health concerns that a gas station might bring to their otherwise peaceful residential neighborhood. "You're changing our entire neighborhood, so it's kind of a big deal," said Christina Stanley, who accompanied her husband Lewis to the meeting. Potential to bring further economic development to the city apparently outweighed those concerns, though. "When we have an opportunity like this, we'd like to look at it strongly and consider it," Alderman Joe Reinhart told the crowd of residents packed into the second floor council chambers at City Hall, noting that such opportunities do not happen all that often. City Attorney Tony Shearing stressed that there will be more opportunities for the public to weigh in on the proposed project before any construction can begin. Shearing noted that further approvals will be necessary, requiring more public hearings to be held. Some of those approvals relate to architectural work done to ensure compliance with the city's zoning code, including required setbacks from other properties and structures, Shearing said, calling that a pretty significant hurdle to overcome. A separate hearing might also be necessary, Shearing said, if an alley must be vacated to accommodate the project. "This is not the very last vote between now and a gas station being built," Shearing said. "In theory, at several points during the process, public input is going to be sought." Petitions requesting the rezoning of the two gas parcels at 552 and 560 South Cherry Street from residential to business zoning classification were filed by the city to accommodate the gas station project, which has been proposed by Paxton Commercial Investment Group, LLC. The group of investors gave an initial presentation about the project to the council on June 11, saying that the development would involve two grass lots along with a third property immediately to the south at 580 South Cherry Street, which is already zoned for commercial use and contains the recently closed Paxton Auto Laundry and Lube Center. All three properties are currently owned by Steve Elson, who would sell them to Paxton Commercial Investment Group if the development there can proceed. The existing car wash building would be torn down before the gas station is built. The project calls for a 7,000-square-foot building to be built on the southernmost grass lot in a portion of the other. The new building would contain the gas station's convenience store and a quick-serve restaurant, while the remaining portion of the northmost grass lot would be used for an undetermined future project. Immediately south of the gas station building would be a parking area, parking in the area where there is currently a gravel alley. Just south of the parking area where the car wash is currently located would be six fuel pumps, each with two sides covered by a canopy. An estimated three or four EV charging stations would be located at the south end of the property along Ottawa Road. Planning and Zoning Commission fielded a number of concerns from neighbors before the appointed panel rejected a motion to recommend approval of a change in zoning classification for the two lots, each from R2, residential one-family dwelling, to B2, business and general retail. Commissioners Larry Iyer, Jason Robb, and Susan Saturday voted against recommending the approval during the initial 3-2 vote, while Commissioners Greg Druschel and Brian Braemeyer were in favor. On the subsequent vote to make no recommendation, voting no was Druschel, who participated in the meeting remotely over the telephone. Absent was Commissioner Charlie White. Resident Brock Zaliker, who lives across the street from the proposed development, said he was particularly concerned about the project's potential impact on his neighborhood. Zaliker noted that residents in the area already deal with light pollution from the nearby Hardee's restaurant on Ottawa Road, for example, and they were concerned the issue will only worsen with yet more lights directed in their way. Zaliker asked when the gas station would close each night and whether its lights would remain on through the night. A Paxton Investment Group LLC representative responded by saying he believed the gas station would close around 11 p.m. or midnight. The representative, meanwhile, did not address Zaliker's other question, as Schuring said it was irrelevant to the topic of rezoning. Resident Jennifer Badgley said the two vacant lots are important to the neighborhood because they provide a buffer between the neighborhood and the commercial properties facing Ottawa Road. Like Zaliker, Badgley said she was concerned about the light pollution, among other concerns. If the rezoning were to be approved, she said, residents would have little to say about what is to come. Once it is zoned commercial, it is zoned commercial, Badgley said, pointed out. The developers may tell us, oh, it's going to be a gas station. It's going to have this. It's going to close at 11 p.m. or midnight. That does not guarantee that a business in that position will adhere to those conditions for the duration of its operation. We're opening ourselves up for all of these things by allowing that zoning change without really taking the time to consider the people who live next to that car wash as it is now, versus what it could be in the future. Another neighbor, Charlie Jensen, who lives at 537 South Cherry Street, directly across from the planned development, urged the commission and council to consider the feelings of the residents living nearby. Everybody here who lives in that zone doesn't want it rezoned, Jensen noted. Christina Stanley, who lives at 533 South Cherry Street, said she was concerned about the gas station causing a reduction in the value of her property. Zaliker noted that there is an entire website dedicated to the link between gas stations and a reduction of property values in residential areas abutting them. Tim Johnson, who has lived for 36 years at 540 South Cherry Street, immediately north of the two rezoned lots, said he was concerned about trash from the gas station blowing onto his property, noting that he already has to pick up trash from Hardee's every single morning. Johnson said that he also was concerned about potential increase in traffic resulting from the development. My concern is how much is enough, Johnson asked. I don't want all that. Johnson's next door neighbor, Greg Phillips, said he was concerned about the gas station's lighting, noting he would rather have an empty car wash with no lighting. I'm perfectly happy with that empty car wash, Phillips said. Zaliker, meanwhile, questioned whether city officials had looked into the possibility, if not the likelihood, that the gas station could cause traffic to be backed up on Illinois 9 east of the I-57 interchange. The mayor said the roadway there is too narrow for the Illinois Department of Transportation to consider installing a turn lane or traffic signal. It could become a congestion issue, Zaliker noted. Instead of returning the matter back to the commission with specific recommendations, council voted to approve the rezoning immediately. Despite a lack of recommendation, Schering advised that the council had the option of immediate approval. Before the council's vote, Alderman Rob Pacey stressed that rezoning the lots is only a preliminary step in the project, and there will be further chances for the public to provide input. It struck me that most of the questions being asked by residents would have been questions we would see in a building permit phase regarding lighting, fencing, vegetation, Pacey said, noting that such concerns could be brought up at the relevant time when the building permits are sought. We don't typically group those topics together to say, I need setbacks and all that mitigations, but I think that's the biggest concern with these folks, fencing, vegetation, and lighting. Paxton Investment Group LLC representatives stressed that the gas station would comply with all city codes, including the requirements related to the installation of fencing, containment of trash, and setbacks from other properties. They said they would be willing to work with the city to mitigate concerns prior to construction as well. Reinhardt noted that while the proposed development may not be supported by all Paxton residents, it will benefit the city as a whole through increased motor fuel tax revenue, which can be used to rebuild the city's aging roads. I hear all the time, non-stop, I see it on Facebook, we need more roads fixed, we need more sidewalks, we need this and that. And then every time anything comes up, there seems to be a contingent of people who don't mind these needs. I understand the concerns, I really do, but it's not as if we're choosing this location over a better location. This is the proposal that is in front of us. Having said that, if we're not able to rezone this into a business, whether a gas station goes in there or not, then there would be a small commercial lot that's going to sit there and deteriorate until it's a bigger eyesore than it already is. So we have to take that into consideration as well. Pacey, meanwhile, noted that the rezoning of the two grass lots appears to be consistent with the application of the city's zoning code in the past. Pacey noted that the two other gas stations in Paxton, Casey's Market at Market Street and Ottawa Road, and the Village Pantry at Railroad Avenue and Franklin Streets, are already surrounded by homes on at least some of their sides. Pacey also noted that IDOT traffic data for those two locations shows similar numbers of vehicles passing by the Cherry Street site. When I'm thinking about this from a zoning perspective, if I throw those three locations into a hat and don't tell you what they are, how can we sit here and consistently apply the zoning code and allow two of the three to be gas stations but not allow the third? Pacey asked his colleagues. So that's just where I'm at from a zoning standpoint. Pacey also noted that the car wash property may be too small for other commercial development. Paxton Investment Group, LLC representatives earlier confirmed that the acquisitions of the two rezoned grass lots would be necessary to build the gas station there. Zalliker, though, disagreed with the lack of development potential on the car wash property, saying he believes a small restaurant could be built there. Johnson asked whether adding a fifth gas station in Paxton would negatively impact business at other already in town. However, Reinhardt said the proposed gas station would cater mostly to travelers on Interstate 57, while the others are located further into town from the I-57 interchange. This is to target traffic on the interstate, Reinhardt said. That's why it's this location. Meanwhile, Zalliker brought up a study from France that indicated there may be a link between childhood cancer and close proximity to gas stations. Zalliker said he was concerned about adverse health effects. We're all going to be breathing in more exhaust fumes from vehicles coming in, Zalliker said, and we have to live around the possible toxic implications from this. We could suffer health risks long term. It's not that we just don't want to look at it. It's not that we don't want them to have a gas station. It's not that we're saying that won't be good for Paxton, but this is the only spot by the interstate where there's houses, and you're wanting to put your gas station right next to our houses? We have to think about our kids, if this is going to negatively impact them. How would you feel if this was put right across the street from your house? Badgley, for one, said that she and other residents of the neighborhood do not want the gas station built so close to where they live. I know one of the city council members sitting up here just bought a large personal property with a large outdoor area for the purpose of getting away, Badgley said. I feel that my yard is my ability to get away, and it very much is for everybody in our neighborhood, as evidenced by everyone out in their garden in the evening. And that is the feeling we are trying to keep and retain by keeping those lots residential and calm and not turning them into a busy area. Before voting against the rezoning proposal, Alderman Mike Wilson said he was really torn in which way to vote. Before tonight, everybody I talked to was excited about the project, Wilson told the audience. Now, granted, they don't live on Cherry Street, but our job here is to represent all of the city, not just your street. And that's why I'm torn, because it's hard. It's not easy by any stretch. After the vote, Wilson said he ultimately decided to vote no because he was disappointed that the commission did not make a recommendation for the council's consideration. Wilson said he voted no despite his feeling that the city needs to do something to redevelop the car wash properties. Besides Wilson, voting no were Alderman Dean Gykin and Justin Withers. Voting yes were Alderman Eric Evans, Casey, and Reinhardt, along with the mayor. Absent were Alderman Kristen Larson and Kendall Cox. The second article on this topic is also a very long one. What I'll do is I'll take a break around the 20-minute mark to read the single obituary in this week's paper and then continue with the article. Headlined, Mayor After Casting Tiebreaker, All About Economic Development. Paxton. After casting the deciding vote to break a 3-3 tie and approve the rezoning of two grass lots behind a shuttered car wash to make way for a proposed fuel station and quick-serve restaurant, Paxton Mayor Bill Ingold told of his reasons. It's about economic development, Ingold told the Ford County Chronicle in an interview last Wednesday, the day after the city council's vote. Ingold said he understood concerns expressed by neighbors of two vacant lots at 552 and 560 South Cherry Street, including concerns about potential noise and light pollution, along with trash, traffic, and health concerns, but he also had to weigh the needs of the city and its growth in making his decision. Also factoring into Ingold's deciding vote to rezone the two lots from residential to business zoning classification was that most of the properties surrounding the proposed commercial development, all but the two newly zoned rezoned grass lots to the north of the car wash, already contain businesses, including restaurants like Hardee's to the east, Subway and Monocle's Pizza to the south, and an auto dealership, Shields Auto Mart of Paxton, to the west. So there are commercial things in the area already, Ingold said. The two grass lots currently separate the commercial area from the residential neighborhood. Residents packed the city council chambers last week to express their concerns with development. He paid close attention to those residents, but he also had to consider the project being pitched by Paxton Investment Group, LLC, a group of investors proposing to build the 7,000-square-foot building. I get that people don't want it in their backyard, Ingold told the Ford County Chronicle, but when it's commercial development, you don't want to send out the wrong message to people who want to come and do business in town that you're not willing to work to try to get them to come in and make concessions with zoning regulations and other things in order to get those businesses to come here. And I read all the time about, well, I see where Gibson City has this, or I see where Rantoul got that. I wish we could get this. I get that, and people say that. So we want to go out there and be proactive. And sometimes you have to make concessions as far as zoning and things like that to accommodate businesses wanting to come to town. And you don't want to send out the message that you're not willing to do it. I get that nobody wants it in their backyard to have a gas station abutted up to their house or across the street or whatever. But the opportunity is right there, and we certainly don't want an old building that is in kind of bad shape with four orange cones sitting in the driveway to its car wash stations that's just going to deteriorate and keep on going downhill and look bad at the entrance to your town. As I said earlier, we'll take a break from reading the article about Mayor Bill Ingold and turn to the single obituary in this week's Ford County Chronicle. Francis Stevenson, Gibson City. Francis G. Stevenson, 80, of Gibson City, died peacefully at 7:40 a.m. Thursday, July 11th, at Goldwater Care Nursing Home in Gibson City, with his family by his side. Visitation will be from 9:30 to 11 a.m. Monday, July 22nd, at Rosenbaum Funeral Home in Gibson City, followed by a celebration of life service at 11 a.m. at the funeral home and burial at the Drummer Township Cemetery in Gibson City. Memorial contributions may be made to the Gibson City Bible Church or Ruby's Rescue and Retreat in McLean, Illinois. Now we'll return to the article where Mayor Bill Ingold explains his vote to approve the rezoning. Ingold said the location of the proposed gas station may not be ideal to some people, but it is to the developers who want it to be located as close as possible to the interstate. In 57 interchange, Ingold noted that he had tried to lure a fuel truck plaza to the area west of the I-57 exits with no success. As part of those efforts, Ingold arranged for a traffic study to be done to demonstrate the potential to bring in traffic. "I've tried very hard to get a fuel plaza to come in on the west side of town," Ingold said. "When they come in, there's a certain place they want to be, and if they're not going to be able to be there, then they say, well, we're not looking to go here. It's very difficult to try and bring them. I mean, I would love to see a truck stop with truck parking and a full-blown plaza, but it's hard. It's still a possibility." Ingold noted that with fuel prices so high in Paxton when compared to elsewhere in the area, people have been leaving town to fill up their gas tank. Ingold said the proposed gas station is expected to have lower gas prices, hopefully forcing other stations in town to lower theirs as well. Proposed gas station will also be open late, closing around 11 p.m. or midnight, when most of the others are already closed for the day. "I think their prices are going to be lower, and it's going to force everybody else to be more competitive," Ingold said, "because I've heard that so many times now, that our gas is higher in cost. I know that. But we, as a city, don't have anything to do with setting gas prices. I don't tell the barber what to charge for a haircut. I don't tell the grocery store what to sell a gallon of milk for. And I don't tell a gas station what to sell a gallon of gas for. It doesn't work that way." The proposed gas station will not be a Casey's or Village Pantry like Paxton already has, Ingold noted. "The fellas coming in, they want to have a different brand," Ingold said. "It's going to be different than a Village Pantry or a Casey's brand, and they're wanting to extend some hours. I don't think it's going to be a 24/7. The quick-serve restaurant should also provide some variety," Ingold said. "I know that they're talking about a different kind of quick-serve restaurant in there, and they've kicked some ideas around on that," Ingold said. "But these fellows who are doing this, one of them owns a restaurant, one of them owns a Subway, one of them has a motel, another has a couple of gas stations. So they're very good at what they do and know what it's going to take to make it in order to cover the investment that they're going to have. And they're very interested. They're super excited about coming to Paxton." Ingold said he is aware that some residents do not share such excitement. Ingold said the city will try to do the very best we can to mitigate the project's potential impact to neighbors. Ingold stressed that there will be further opportunities for the public to provide input. "I've lived in this town my whole life, and I know that people don't want that in their backyards, but we're going to try to do the very best we can," Ingold said. The developers still have a lot of work to go through, work with engineers and architects, and then come back to the city and say, "This is where we want to be. This is the setbacks that we can do." They have to talk to the Environmental Protection Agency about putting fuel tanks in the ground for gasoline. So, I mean, we're a long way from going out there and breaking ground, ready to start this thing. But they're very willing to do whatever it takes to make this work. That's a lot of work to go through this thing, but until they were able to get an answer on the zoning, they're not even going to be able to go forward with an architect. Ingalls said he tries to keep a pro-business approach. Every time I've talked to the developers, I've said, I'm all about business. That's what we want, Ingalls said. I want to encourage further economic growth, and we don't want to discourage anybody. Ingalls said he continues to try to attract more businesses to town, including additional restaurants. It has not been easy, though. Despite Paxton having a tax increment financing district spanning from Market Street and its downtown to Ottawa Road to the west of the I-57 interchange to use as an enticement. It's hard, Ingalls said. People have talked about other kinds of restaurants. We've talked to the brand names, and some have shown some interest. And some of them just tell you, you're too small. Others will say, well, we're in Champaign and we know that you'll drive down here to come to our restaurant. So therefore, we don't need to build another one, staff it, have a building and all of that stuff because you're willing to drive to Champaign to get that. We're working very hard to have good business environment and with the downtown and going out there by the I-57 exchange because, you know, I think of that's kind of where the growth of Paxton is going to be, is to the west and out by the interstate area. Finally, we have a photograph of a tall light pole from Veterans Square in downtown Paxton, a journey back home. A vintage light pole that originally stood in downtown Paxton from the early 1920s to the late 1950s has been reinstalled in the 200 block of South Market Street in front of Veterans Square. The old light pole and others like it were removed from downtown, taken north of town and cut in half, presumably so they could not be used any longer. But a few of the light poles were saved by Clarence Foose, although their globes were missing. Knowing that the nearby village of Onaga had the same poles at the time, Foose was able to obtain an original globe to create a light pole as it originally stood. This particular pole was eventually acquired by former Paxton resident Bob Thompson Jr. and erected on his property in Indiana. Preparing to relocate recently, Thompson, affectionately called Old 17 for his firefighter badge number, spoke with fellow Paxton firefighter friends Denny Kingren and Maury Saldine about the possibility of getting the pole back to Paxton. The men approached John and Jeffrey Grove about the pole, and a decision was made to erect it on the front lawn in front of the former American Legion building at Veterans Square that the Groves owned. Kingren and Saldine transported the pole back to Paxton, while Customs Service Crane agreed to set the pole without charge. The dedication plaque will be added at a future date. Power has been run to the light pole, which is a nod to Paxton's history as you enter the downtown district from the south. And that's all the time we have for today's reading of the Ford County Chronicle. This is Tom Scott. I look forward to reading with you again very soon.